So here we are. We're in that time where we're just finishing up our high holidays. Let's get to the... Can you put me onto the title for the message? We're in this time. We finished Rosh Hashanah with the shofar blasts. And just 10 days later, we go through Yom Kippur with our fast. Then we get into the sukkah for Sukkot to be followed, to be finished, and get out of this season 8 days later with the last day of Sukkot, which we do as Simchat Torah, the joy of the Torah, when we re-roll the scroll from the end of Deuteronomy to the beginning of Genesis. So that's the timeline we're in. And this year we were blessed with the revealing of that new Torah crown and the Yad, the pointer. We went from the end of the reading cycle to the start of another one in our scriptures. And this is where we are today, at the beginning of a cycle of the new reading calendar. And perhaps a new cycle in your life as well. Ready to start something new in your life. Today's portion is the first Saturday Sabbath with a Torah portion for the current reading cycle. Friday night was the last portion of the Torah reading cycle, and then we start again today with Bereshit. Now, in that last portion on the calendar for the readings was Vizot HaBeracha, which translates to, "And this is the blessing." But this week, we are here reading of the new thing that Adonai did at the very start of world history, creation, and what came just after that. The last portion we read in the cycle was about the people who are just about to enter into the promised land. And now for us, we should also look at this time of the first portion, as a new beginning for us. I mean, we go through so many new beginnings as believers and Jewish brethren and sisters and in Messiah. We go through, you know, there's Passover, which is kind of a new beginning coming out of Egypt and sin. There's Rosh Hashanah with the blowing of the shofar, and it's a new year. It's Sukkot, which will represent the beginning of something new for us. There's the rolling of the scroll, which could be the new thing for us. We go through a lot of different new things. Because, yes, Adonai gives us the opportunities to start anew. What a great thing that is. The reality is, we actually get to start new each and every day. But this is the time on the calendar that we mark off as a new start in our minds. It's a kind of a, you know, just a tick mark. Ah, we're into something new again. It can mark off a time for something new, something unknown to us. But it's also a time that we hope that Adonai will show us something new as we go into his word. And he'll show us something to help us to walk further in his walk for us. Now, just before the people were to go into the promised land, Adonai says that he was not happy with them. And he wasn't going to go ahead of them. He was going to send an angel instead. Moses pleaded with Adonai, "Do not send them," if he himself did not go along with them. Now, Adonai knew that although the old generation had died off in the desert, the new generation was also stiff-necked. They were a stiff-necked generation as well. Adonai says to Moses that he would not go ahead of them, but he was going to send the angel. And during this time, Moses said this to Adonai, Exodus 33:13. "Now then, I pray, if I have found grace in your eyes, show me your ways that I may know you, so that I might find favor in your sight. Consider also that this nation is your people." Adonai, when hearing the heart of Moses, did go with them, did go before them. It's here that we hear a prayer that each one of us should also pray. Show me your ways, Lord, so that I may know you, so that I may find favor in your sight. And then consider us, those that you know are stiff-necked. You know we're a stiff-necked people. Consider us as your people for salvation. We want to know Adonai and his ways, not so that we are blessed or that we can live a better life here and now, but so that we could know him better and to find the grace that we need, not just for this world, but for all eternity. The very good news is that Adonai listens to prayers and actually has shown us his ways. It's even seemed to me that Moses prayed this even as he was praying this. He didn't even recognize what he had. Because Adonai had given us not just his instructions, which is the Torah, but also has given us his timeline on how all of his plan for salvation is playing out and will play out to completion. It is through Moses that we get these instructions, which include the feasts of Adonai, or the seven holidays and the Sabbath day that he has given to us. They are the ways of Adonai and the way that we continue to get to know him more and more each day. They are the way that we come close to him, even as he comes close to us. Moses seemed to be like many people. The information that he asked for already was in his hands, in his heart, in his mind. The world also does not seem to recognize that the God of the universe has given us all that we need to follow and obey him. All that we need for eternal joy, which is what most of all of us should really want. It's the feasts that are the timeline for the way that he will do things of salvation. Not that we're able to time out the final days, but we can see the seasons of Adonai in our lives as well as in the life of all of earth and all of humanity. So we can see the approximate place that we are currently in that timeline. Where am I? That's what should be up. So the timeline, as you know, starts with Passover, the time the lamb was sacrificed and the angel of death passed over those who applied the blood onto the doorposts. On the eternal timeline, it was the shedding of Messiah Yeshua's blood as the payment of our sin, so that death would pass over us. Some may ask, why is the first feast not a recognition of the birth of Messiah? And I believe it's because he always was. Being Adonai, although we acknowledge him with a different name while walking on the earth, he is the God who always was, always is, and always will be. Yeshua was birthed on earth, but in heaven, he just always was, is, and will be. There was no birth for him in heaven. He is God. He is eternal. There was no beginning. There'll be no end. Then the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the remembrance of the actual leaving of Egypt, which correlates to deliverance from sin for us. After that, we have the Feast of First Fruits, which celebrated the first harvest from the field, which was barley. For us, it's the resurrection of Messiah Yeshua as the first fruits for us, a demonstration of things to come for us. Then 50 days later is Shavuot, the second harvest, which was wheat. And we remember that it was the same time that the Torah was given on Mount Sinai. and even more importantly, for the giving of the Ruach HaKodesh in Acts 2. These are the spring feasts on that timeline. These have all been prophetically fulfilled by Adonai through Yeshua. Then we get to the fall feast days of Adonai, which are going to go through, which we've just gone through on our calendar. Rosh Hashanah, the new year of kings, the feast of trumpets, when the shofar sounded and the books of life and death are opened. It'll be fulfilled when the heavenly shofar will be heard and all the people will be raised up to the air to meet him, meet our one and only God. Then Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the day that it's believed that the book of life is closed for the year. And on that final day, those who come before him, which will be all men, will be judged as ritually clean or not. Those deemed to be ritually cleansed by the blood will be allowed to be before him forever. Those deemed to be ritually unclean will never be allowed before him again. Then Sukkot is the day that we remember that the Israelite people lived in booths as they traveled in the desert before getting into the promised land. And it reminds us that we will get to live with him for eternity as long as we walk the walk and run the race to its end. And now I'm placing Shabbat at the end. I always used to say that Shabbat was first. But now I believe Shabbat really comes at the end of the timeline. It reminds us that it'll be in peace and in rest for all eternity that we're looking forward to. Here we are, just after Sukkot, that time in the timeline that we remember not just of what he's done and promised, but that we are not in that final Sukkot yet. It's going to occur, but we're not there yet. It'll be good for us to use it as a reminder to keep looking forward, even how to keep looking forward. During Sukkot, we're told to rejoice. It actually is not a part of the narrative, just a part of the narratives of Sukkot. But it's an instruction on how to observe it. It's the only feast that actually instructs us to rejoice during it. Leviticus 23:39. So on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you've gathered in the fruits of the land, you are to keep the feast of Adonai for 7 days. The first day is to be a Sabbath rest. And the eighth day will also be a Shabbat rest. On the first day, you are to take choice fruit of trees, branches of palm trees, boughs of leafy trees and willows of the brook, and rejoice before Adonai your God for 7 days. It's a commandment for us to rejoice during Sukkot, because of what we're promised. We rejoice that we're promised that we will be at some time in the future, and that future turns into an eternity, we'll be able to reside with him, to be in his presence for all eternity. Within the Torah, Adonai has given us the instructions to keep, which include how to keep the instructions and what to look out for. Now we read this in Deuteronomy 9, starting in Deuteronomy 9:11. Take care that you do not forget Adonai your God by not keeping his mitzvot, ordinances, and statutes that I am commanding you this day. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are full, and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply, and silver and gold multiplies for you, and all that is yours multiplies, then your hearts will be haughty, and you will forget Adonai your God. He brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of slavery. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness, fiery serpents and scorpions, and thirsty ground where there is no water. He brought forth water for you from the flinty rock. He fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, in order to afflict you and test you, to do you good in the end. Where am I? My clicker's not working right, huh? Sorry about that, guys. It seems like a two-edged sword there. We will become prosperous, but when we do, we need to not allow ourselves to become prideful in the things that we've attained or the abilities that we think we have that has allowed us to obtain them. Yes, Adonai wants to bless you now and in this life to make things easier for you. But remember that they're from Adonai. We hear this from Solomon. Now, Ecclesiastes is a traditional reading for that Sabbath day during the 8 days of Sukkot, so between Sukkot and Simchat Torah. It makes sense that this would be read on that day. So we think about the blessing and the life in the coming world. So we read this in Ecclesiastes 3:12-13. Know that there is nothing better for them than to rejoice and enjoy themselves in their lifetime. Also, excuse me. Also, when anyone eats and drinks and finds satisfaction in all his labor, it is a gift of God. Adonai is not a God who would deny his people the gift of enjoying this life. He is the reason that we're able to do anything. And that includes any kind of accumulation of items or memories that can be cherished. We do not have a God who would inflict pain or suffering to anyone, especially those who are following after him with their whole heart. He wants us to enjoy this life just as much as we possibly can. We're told that we are to celebrate and rejoice in this life, but that this is not the be-all and end-all. That our rejoicing here and for the things of this world will pale in comparison to the things that are to come when we are in his presence for all time. Solomon, I think, tells us in cryptic terms that regardless how our lives are now, there is a time to come, if we follow the instructions of Torah, that we will gain the favor and the delights of heaven. Look what Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 8:12. Even though a sinner might commit 100 crimes and prolong his days, yet I know that it will be well for those who fear God, for those who revere him. There should be another slide. Well, let me read it. But it will not go well with the wicked, and he will not lengthen his days like a shadow, because he does not fear God. It says that for the sinner who might do many sinful things to try to extend his life, it's not going to go well, and he will not be able to extend his days. But for the believer in Adonai, his word of Torah and Yeshua, who is to come later on, he will extend their time with Adonai. Just as a shadow is extended as the day goes on, so will our time with Adonai be extended, even to eternity when we walk in his ways with him. For the one who fears God and reveres him, it will go well for them. He writes that the sinner tries to extend his life but cannot, not because of the things of this body, but actually because of the spiritual things that are occurring, not just during this life, but after it. That is also when the one who fears and reveres God will have his life turned into true joy for the length of all eternity. Now, going back to Moses, when he asked Adonai to show him his ways, it was not just a reminder that Adonai gave us everything that we need as we cross the desert. It's also a reminder that when he gives us good things, to be sure that we do not forget where and how it came from. That as good as we think it is now, we must never stop the doing of the things that pleases Adonai, so that we did reap from him and will continue to reap from him. And we must always remember that although it may not get any better than this in this life, there is something better to come. It's not the gold, it's not the silver that we have that we are to look forward to. But being in his presence and seeing Adonai fully face to face, that time to come, that's what we look forward to. When there'll be no more scratchy throats, no more pain and tears. Now we have the Ruach with us, which is great. I mean, just really great. But there will be a time when the race is completed that we will dwell in the house of the Lord, and it will be so much better in the presence of his full glory. I believe we will see and understand the triune nature of Adonai, the Father, the Son, and the Ruach, all at once, even more than we currently do, and yes, even perfectly then. If we become satisfied in this life, then we have the tendency to stop trying as much. For example, when I need to write something, I do a lot of research on it, basically. But when I think I have enough research, I stop researching. Now, there may be a lot more there, a lot more learning, but I stop and do. Adonai doesn't want us to ever stop, to ever think we have enough of him by the Ruach, when there'll be so much more for us in eternity. The grace and the mercies of Adonai, the grace and the mercies of today, are just a foreshadowing of things to come. We see this foretold to us in Revelation. Revelation 21, towards the end of the book. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I also saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I also heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling of God is among men, and he shall tabernacle among them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them and be their God." Doesn't that sound like what Moses prayed? "He shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, nor shall there be mourning or crying or pain any longer, for the former things have passed away." Hallelujah is right. At the end of time, the new Jerusalem will come out of the heavens, and we will know that dwelling of God is now among us. And all tears will be gone in the eyes from our eyes, and there will be no more death or crying or pain, regardless how good we think we have it now. That will be so, so much better. Regardless how blessed you are now, that will be such a greater blessing. Regardless how close you believe you are with Adonai now, you will be even closer with him then. And it is also true that no matter how hard you believe you have it now, or how far from Adonai feels from you now, If you run the good race by keeping his instructions, you will be in his eternal presence and you will be rewarded for it. Sukkot is the foretelling of the completion of the timeline for the things of earth, but not for the things of Adonai in heaven. Sukkot is that picture for us, and the reminder that as good as it may be here, it will be better at that time of that final Sukkot. When we sit in the sukkah, we're told that we should be able to see the stars above. The roof shouldn't be solid. There should be gaps so that we can see the stars. I think that one of the reasons is so that we can look up into the stars of heaven and think that one day we will not be in that heaven with the stars, but the heaven where the only light will be from Adonai, who is in our presence. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We want to honor you. But mostly right now, we want to thank you for that this may be good, but there's so much more. So much more for us in that eternity to come. Thank you for the timeline and the instructions that we see in all of your word. Thank you mostly, though, for Messiah Yeshua and the blood that allows us access to you, as we are a stiff-necked people. Each and every one of us are a stiff-necked people. Each and every one of us wants our own ways, even to the point of, Adonai, I want you to have your way, but can't you do it my way? Adonai, maybe I can combine them. Maybe I can take my ways and your ways and combine them. Adonai, forgive us for those thoughts. Forgive us for the times that we're not just doing it your way and your way alone. Ruach, we thank you that you show us and you show us the path that you would have us walk upon. You shine the light for us. But mostly, Adonai, thank you for Messiah Yeshua. Yeshua, thank us for the blood that cleanses us so that we may be in that eternal presence with you. We praise you and we thank you. And everyone says, Amen.